Guru and Gaurang. Nama Om Vishnu Badai Krishna Bhastavali. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Maste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Vasesa Sunyavadi Pastatari Shatarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 6, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, text number 23. Yadasya Nabhyan Nalinad Ahang Asam Mahatmana Navidam Jagna Sambaran Purushavayavan Rite Yadasya Nabhyam Nalinad Yadasya Nabhyan Nalinad Ahang Asang Mahatmana Ahang Asang Mahatmana Navidam Jagna Sambaran Navidam Jagna Sambaran Purushavaya Vandate Purushavaya Vandate Yadasya Nabhyan Nalinad Ahang Asang Mahatmana Navidam Jagna Sambaran Purushavaya Vandrate Please chant. Navidam jagya sambaram purushavaya vandrate yadasya nabhyan nalinad aham asamahatmana navidam jagya sambaram Purushavaya vandrate Yadasya Navyan Nalinad Hanga Sangahatmana Ladies.
Yadasya Nabhyan Nalinad
samahatmanaha navida jagya sambadan shavaya vandrate yada at the time of asya his nabha nabhyat from the abdomen malinat from the lotus flower aham myself asam took my birth mahatmanah of the great person naabidam did not know jagnya sacrificial sambaran ingredients purusha of the Lord avayavan personal bodily limbs rate except translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Please repeat. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Swayambhu, or one who is born without father and mother. The general process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the first born living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Mahavishnu, plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity, and from his heart he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. But there was nothing besides the two of them, namely the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily parts of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were in need, especially animals. The animal sacrifice is never meant for killing the animal, but for achieving the successful result of the sacrifice. The animal offered in the sacrificial fire is, so to speak, destroyed, but the next moment it is given a new life by dint of the Vedic hymns chanted by the expert priest. Excuse me. When such an expert priest is not available, the animal sacrifice in the fire of the sacrificial altar is forbidden. Thus, Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarva pravartate. Everything is made from my bodily limbs, and I am therefore the original source of all creations. The impersonalists argue that there is no use in worshiping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord himself. The personalist, however, worships the Lord out of a great sense of gratitude, utilizing the ingredients born out of the bodily limbs of the Lord. The fruits and flowers are available from the body of the earth, and yet Mother Earth is worshipped by the sensible devotee, with ingredients born from the earth. Similarly, Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges, and yet the worshipper enjoys the result of such worship. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord. And yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. While the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of a great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. Therefore, the devotee, endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord, and that no one can claim anything as one's own. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshiper in being engaged in his loving service, whereas the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains a non-devotee forever, without being recognized by the Lord. Om Gyanati Midandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namo Kum Guru Deva Chalam Pangam Langayate Guru Yati Guru Manta Mande Sri Guru Dina Tarin Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishvara. Translation again. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. So as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, everything comes from something. It's not that nothing is producing something. It's nonsense. Where have we any experience that out of something or out of nothing all of a sudden came this building? It's totally a ridiculous argument. So similarly, this creation has come from a something. And in this case, we're understanding that it's coming from a person. Just as there are so many persons within this world, the original person is described here in the Vedic literatures as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And by his arrangement, by his desire, the creation goes on. By his expansion, creation takes place. And in this case, we're seeing how Lord Brahma is the first creation or expansion of the Lord within this material world. We know that there are other expansions from the original personality of Godhead, the Vishnu forms, etc. But here we're seeing that within this material creation, Lord Brahma is the first created person. And just again, as the original person is there, Lord Brahma is also a person, and we're also persons. We're not just some inert or lump of nothing. No, there's something there. Lord Brahma is described here as the creator of the cosmic manifestation. But his birth is extraordinary. His appearance is extraordinary. In that he comes from, as Srila Prabhupada very nicely described here, he comes from the abdominal lotus flower, abdominal lotus flower, which is a part of the Lord's bodily limbs, just as a child appears and has a connection with the umbilical cord of the mother. So also Lord Brahma, by his umbilical connection through the lotus flower, appeared, was given birth. And therefore we can understand that he's a part of the personality of Godhead. Everything we understand is a part of the personality of Godhead. But here we're seeing very nice step-by-step description of how that creation takes place. Again, it's not that it all of a sudden manifested. There was some, as we always hear, some explosion, or there was some unknown. Something came from the unknown, from the deep, dark abyss, and all of a sudden it manifested into a beautiful planet, etc. And no, these arguments are really for people who really don't want to understand what the reality is. They're very comfortable in their delusion because it supports their desires for sense gratification. So they create all kinds of fantasies, although they may think that this is a fantasy, right? When you explain to them how the creation comes about, they think it's some fantasy. So we can understand that it's real because it's very logical. But their idea is totally illogical. And it's the in reality, that's the fantasy. So here, Lord Brahma, when he first made his appearance, Srila Prabhupada points out, he saw darkness and there was nothing else. He felt perplexity. Just like a small child, when it pops out of the mother's womb, it's very confusing. If you've ever seen a small child come straight out of the womb of a woman, of the mother, you can see it on their face. It's a complete shocking experience. I had that experience when my daughter was born, and I saw her coming out of the womb, and I was looking very carefully at her face when she came out, and her eyes were just wide open and looking around. Oh my gosh, what did I come into? What an experience. And it was quite an experience to see it. But you can see that there is some perplexity, not the miserable experience of this material world is not yet there. There's been some experience within the womb, certainly. The child is in the womb and it's praying to the Lord, please, let me get out of this condition. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his beautiful songs, how I promise that this time when I come out, I will engage in your devotional service. Just get me out of this condition. But then as soon as we come out, just even this far, it's all forgotten. And one is consumed by the illusory energy. So there's some perplexity. And he was feeling that same perplexity from his heart. But from within his heart, I should say, but from within his heart, he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity. And we know that the first instruction or first sound was tapa. Therefore, the Lord, immediately he takes the initiative. Just like a parent has to immediately comfort immediately has to comfort the small child when it comes out. And in many cases, we see when the child comes out, it's not disturbed because it feels immediately some comfort. But as soon as it's taken away from the parent, that initial comfort, it cries. So similarly, Lord Brahma, he was feeling this perplexation. The Lord within the heart, Tene Brahma Hidayadi Kavaye, the Lord within the heart immediately imparted transcendental knowledge to him, immediately spoke to him. And his instruction was that he should go undergo austerity. The question would be, why austerity? Why not just enjoy? Why not just immerse yourself in some kind of enjoyment? And this is exactly what the modern science would like us to understand. The modern present-day science is all about that. It's to teach you how to enjoy immediately. As soon as you come into this material world, just try to enjoy this human body. Engage in some kind of sense gratification, some fruitive activity. Immediately, try to eat something, hear something, see something, touch something. Immediately. And they would like us to think that, in so many ways, they try to divert us from the real purpose. But here, we're understanding that the Lord immediately instructs Lord Brahma in what is his real purpose. And that is to engage in austerity. Some sacrifice. Just like as a child, when it gradually grows up from childhood to youth, there's education. Education has to be there. Otherwise, the child doesn't know what the purpose is. Right? Maybe the purpose is just to get a phone or just to goof around with friends or engage in some other a frivolous activity which has no purpose. So that education has to be given. And here the Lord within the heart immediately instructed Lord Brahma to be engaged in austerity. For what purpose? To acquire the ingredients for sacrificial performances. That's why. So from the very beginning, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Saha Jagna Prajashrista Purovaja Prajapati, that from the very beginning, that education has to be a sacrifice. There has to be some austerity. And again, the question would be, why? That's because by engaging austerity and sacrifice, whatever one needs whatever one requires for a happy and successful life, ultimately liberation, is achieved. Why do we want to engage in sacrifice or austerity? Because we want to become happy. That's the idea. Because we want to be happy and because we want liberation. Freedom from the repetition of birth and death. Everyone wants to be happy, certainly. We don't walk around looking for misery. No one is knocking on our door these days. Hello, I have some... would you like to be miserable today? No. We don't have any experience of that. Of course, unless you're living in a crazy neighborhood. But no one is knocking, or our Sankirtan devotees don't approach hundreds and millions of people regularly around the world asking, hello, would you like to take one of these books because it'll help you become miserable today? How would you like to be miserable? Take one of these with you and give a donation for it. No. Of course, that's what they're selling. The material society is selling that. Buy one of these little packages and we're guaranteed that you'll have misery in the form of cancer. Or take this drug or take this car or whatever. And we guarantee you that you'll be miserable. It's a guarantee. Even you have the fanciest whatever. You have to maintain it. You have to protect it. You have to recondition it. You have to do so many things. You have to work so hard for it. It's just misery. So although it's packaged, and the packaging is very expert, you can see how society nowadays is packaging things so nicely in so many beautiful ways. The advertisements are of two people who are super happy and they're having great time, and then the drug is high blood pressure drug. Right? Or it's a heart drug. As if it makes any sense. It's amazing. Or people who have some advertisement of a beautiful teeth, this toothpaste. But, you know, you don't. The advertisement doesn't tell you fully that the person who's advertising it had veneers. They already had veneers. It had nothing to do with the toothpaste. But they're smiling so happily that, whoa, I got to have that toothpaste. Otherwise, how am I going to have such beautiful teeth? It's madness. So the advertisement is certainly there. But the real advertisement, the real education, is to be engaged in austerity whereby one truly becomes happy and achieves liberation from this miserable material world. Because everything else is fruit of activity. Everything else is fruit of activity. And those fruitive activities are producing sinful reactions in the form of birth, death, old age, and disease. Some or other, you have to experience that. And not be confused to think that the real purpose is to be engaged in sense gratification. Because again, those activities, those materialistic activities, will simply bind one, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yajñantarikamano yataloko yam karma bandhana. That whatever you do in this world, if it has no purpose, if it has no real direction, then it's simply binding. It simply entangles one more and more in this material world. So austerity has to be there. So the question may arise, well, who do we offer this austerity to? Right? Because we don't just... Where are the benefits of austerity coming from? And here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand that this is the personality of Godhead. Janmad yasya yato nyavad itarate startesha bigyasvarat. That personality, that source who is providing everything. That's what sacrifice is for. It's meant for satisfying someone or some source. And that we understand is from the Vedic literatures is the personality of Godhead. Why? Because he's providing, not only is he the primeval and all cognizant and independent personality, but he's also the source of creation. He's a source of sustenance and destruction. So he's providing everything. Not only has he created everything, but he's also providing everything. You can't go in some place and start some business and expect that you're all of a sudden magically going to achieve success. It doesn't work like that. It has to come from some source. So similarly, this material world, to be successful, one has to go to the source. And we worship the personality of Godhead because, again, he's providing everything. So it's out of a sensibility, as Prabhupada points out here in this purport. It's a very nice point here that Srila Prabhupada makes, that the devotee is sensible. Therefore, he engages everything that's given to him, that's been provided by nature, engages that in the service of the Lord. It's just common sense. Just like we receive certain benefits from the sun, so we appreciate the sun, or we receive certain benefits from the earth and we worship the earth, or we're getting certain benefits from Mother Ganga. Just like if you go to Haridwar at Brahmagat every day, every evening at 6 p.m. at the sunset, they have a beautiful, beautiful worship of Mother Ganga. And they sing these very nice songs, and there are hundreds and thousands of people there. And they're taking a little bit of Ganga in the hand and offering it back to her. As if Ganga needs Ganga? No. No, but we're taking it and we're offering it to the source. The Mother Earth is providing so many beautiful things, and we take it from her and we offer it back. Everything is coming from the personality of Godhead, and the devotees of the Lord, they're understanding that. Nothing was there before, as Prabhupada points out here. Right? There was nothing but the Lord Brahma and the personality of Godhead. What is that verse? Ahang evasham evagre nanyanyat sarasat param. There was nothing there, and in the end, there will be nothing except the personality of Godhead. So it's by his mercy, it's by his grace that we have anything. And the sensible person can see that. Oh, what time should I? We're almost over here. So there's so many points that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport. It's just, we can't even touch upon a fraction of it. But all of this, again, has to be done in accordance with the rules and regulations. The execution has to be done properly, as Prabhupada points out here. There has to be certain ingredients. All the ingredients have to be there, as we'll read later on in the following verses. It's very nicely described. Srila Prabhupada points out all the proper materials that have to be there, the expert priests, the mantras, the proper chanting, the utensils, the grains, etc., etc. All of these things have to be there in order for it to be successful. Of course, in the Kali Yuga, what is it? Ashwamedham Gavalambam? Yeah. That in the Kali Yuga, these ingredients are not there. We don't have the expert people. We don't have, all we have is plastic spoons and paper plates. We don't have the proper materials to do this proper execution. Therefore, the Sankirtan Jagna is recommended. So, one final point is that Srila Prabhupada points out here at the end of the purport, the devotee therefore endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord. Right? Ishava shamidam sarvam yat kincha jagat yan jagat. We have certain things we've been given by the Lord, and those certain things should be used in the purpose, in the service of the Lord. That is the proper sacrifice. Yeah, we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.